be seated. Good morning. You know, I asked Carrie, my wife, yesterday, she was nervous about me preaching this morning, and she said, no, are you? And I said, well, I don't know who's more nervous, me or the Lord. For those of you that don't know, I am. One of my fears is speaking in front of people, but I try to conquer that all the time, each day, to get over that fear, but it doesn't get any easier. So it's not about me being nervous today. It's about the lesson that is presented here before us today, and I hope that this lesson will be helpful to all of you today. It is an honor and a privilege to be speaking on Dan's behalf today. He's out of town this week and asked me to do this, and it is a pleasure to do this and to speak to you all today. The title of this morning's lesson is Let the Gospel Be Seen in You, taken from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, when Jesus says, let your light shine before men so that others may see your good deeds and glorify God. And as Christians, that is what we are supposed to be doing, is to let the gospel, the light, be shown to others. In a world that we live in today with corruption and sin and violence, sickness and death, and all the bad things that go on in our world today, it is sometimes hard to let that gospel, let that light be shown to others around us. However, there is some good in the world, and there are some that let the gospel be shown in their lives. And as we sit here today in the pews around the world, there are many other religions and congregations sitting here today to glorify God in different ways. But there is only one gospel, and that gospel is proclaimed around the world by us. And Jesus recommends that we do that and commands us to preach the gospel throughout the world. There is one gospel. And although there are a lot of bad things in the world, a lot of corruption and all that I just spoke of, there is good news. And that good news is the gospel, and it's this, that God sent his only son to earth in man form to walk upon earth to heal the sick and to teach us. He was without sin and yet was crucified, nailed to a cross, and died a cruel death for our sins. He was buried and on 3 days later was raised from the grave so that we can have hope of eternal life. And that is the good news that we have. But are we living that good news? Paul writes in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You see, the word ashamed there means to have disgrace or to be embarrassed about a certain thing. A person ashamed in this way is someone singled out for misplacing his confidence. You see, this person is trusted in something, and that something has let him down. So when Paul says that he's not ashamed of the gospel, what he's saying is that his confidence in the gospel has not been misplaced. So there's no disgrace or embarrassment in declaring it. The application can extend to us just as well as it did Paul. Paul placed his confidence in the gospel of Christ, and so can we. When Paul said this, he was in a bad place where Christianity wasn't popular. And he wasn't ashamed to stand up and proclaim it. To live unashamed of the gospel means that we proclaim it. But it also means that we apply it to our lives and we show to everyone around us that we believe it. Paul's life choices supported his message. He didn't preach one thing and then live another. We are ashamed of the gospel when we allow sin into our lives to go unchecked for a period of time. When we indulge in the world and the world desires, or blankly disobey the scripture, we indicate that we lack confidence in our own message. When we walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the path of sinners, and sit at the seat of scoffers, according to Psalms 1:1, we are being ashamed of the gospel. We are not allowing the truth to penetrate our lives so that others can see the changing power in it. To live unashamed of the gospel means that we, like Paul, out to dominate our lives, to extend to everyone within our sphere of influence that can see that we have Jesus in our life. The question this morning is how can we see that same gospel that was in Paul that we see in us? You know, when we try to imitate things in the world, when we try to become something, we try to get an image of them and be that person. Perhaps if you wanted to lose some weight, shed some pounds off of you, you know, most people would find someone they kind of want to look like. And so that's the goal they set. But living a Christian life and letting the gospel be shown in you isn't a physical appearance. If so, we would try to look like Jesus, and that's not what we're trying to do here. As a matter of fact, we don't know what Jesus looked like. There's no record of it, there's no picture of him, and there's no idea what he physically looked like. Now, we do know that he was a Jew, and we could predict the color of his skin, maybe a little bit about him, but that's not what we're here to do as Christians, and to let that gospel be seen as it's not a picture of what Jesus looked like. It's different. Isaiah 53:1-2 says, he hath no form nor splendor, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So we're not trying to look like Jesus. We're trying to live like Jesus, and that's what the gospel can be seen in us. And that's the image that we try to proclaim to everyone around us. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Folks, that's the gospel there, that when we become a Christian, we allow Jesus to live inside of us, and we proclaim Jesus through the world by having Jesus inside us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3 says, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. You know, being a Christian doesn't mean wearing a cross around your neck, or having a Christian bumper sticker on your car, or being on a church roll, or being in a church registry. It's having God's word in your heart and living God's word. You know, our Bibles is a great tool for us to learn from this. If you want to have the gospel be seen in you, want to live the Christian life, we need to get God's word into our heart. Not just carry the Bible around with us, but to actually study it, let it sink in, and let it get into our hearts. And that's when we begin living as God has wanted us to. We, the people, the body of Christ, are the reflection of Jesus. Christians are. How can that gospel of Jesus be seen in us? I've got three short points this morning of how the gospel of Jesus can be seen in us. Number one, by living a godly life. Now, it's hard to live a perfect life. We can't live a perfect life. We can't live a pure life. But we can live a godly life. Each one of our lives here this morning are different. We have different things we pursue in life, different things that we want, different things that we desire. But each one of us can and has the opportunity to live a godly life, and we should if we're Christians. Now, Jesus, he lived a pure life. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You see, we look at Jesus and we compare our lives to Jesus, and sometimes we think that Jesus wasn't tempted like we were, that he didn't live in a world like we live in today, and yet he was. Jesus was perfect and did live this life, and he had a pure life and was without sin, but yet he was tempted just the same as we are. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made in the righteousness of God in him. That's the good news. That's the gospel here today, that we are sinners and that we can't be perfect. We can't have that pure life, but we can put our hope and trust in Jesus Christ, who had no sin and was sin for us. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, our hearts are the center of our lives. Whatever we allow to our heart is what we proclaim to the world. A person with a bad heart is more likely going to do bad things in life and come across as a bad person. A person with a good heart will come across as a good person and do good things. But those that have the scripture and have God in their heart are going to live godly lives. And that's what we should have in our heart to proclaim it to others around us. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, and faith, and purity. See, Paul was talking to Timothy here. Timothy was a young man, and he told him, don't worry about how young you are, or how young in the faith you are, or how young in the church you are. Don't worry about that. Worry about your duty in being a Christian. And he said, but be an example of the believers. We are to be examples of Christ. Be examples of the believers, not only to those that don't know Christ, but to those, to the brethren in the body of Christ. We are to be an example to all of us in all of these actions. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3 says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We have that hope in Jesus, and have that hope in being a good example to those around us. That makes us pure through Jesus. In order to live a godly life, we must abstain from impurity. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Each one of us are here for a reason. God created each and every one of us to do different things. Our opinions may be different, our abilities may be different than others, but one thing we all have in common, that God gave us our bodies to glorify Him. And we are to change inwardly and allow Jesus in our life and to let God dwell in us so that others may see Him. Acts 15 and 20 says, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. You know, we are to stay away from certain things, and those pollutions on our earth today are many things. What we surround ourselves with, the people we hang out with, the relationships we get in, what we seek after in life can pollute our minds and our hearts on what we're supposed to be doing. These are all idols, and we are to abstain from them and stay away from them. We're warned. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. You know, we're to have sanctified bodies. And even though that the world, what this scripture is saying, even though the world today says that certain sins are okay, certain things are okay that we can do, and if the world passes a law that it's okay, it doesn't mean it's okay with God. You know, they were doing sinful acts way back then, and they're even worse today. And just because it's accepted in today's society does not mean that it's okay in the eyes of God, and neither should we. To live a godly life sometimes means not partaking in what the worst of the world's doing. 1 Peter chapter 2 and 11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. He's talking about those without Christ and those that are in Christ, to abstain, to stay away from fleshly lusts. These things that pull us away from what we're supposed to be doing, the way that we're supposed to be living, stay away from these lusts. And these lusts can be all kinds of things. The things that we want in life, we are to stay away because they're a war against our soul. Secondly, how can the gospel of Jesus be seen in us? By having a pure speech. Now, this is a tough thing for a lot of us, to have a pure speech. And I'm not talking about just cleaning up your language or talking a certain way, because y'all all know I'm just country as all get out up here. But having a pure speech is different than having a filthy mouth. Jesus had pure speech, and we want to see how to talk to people. We need to talk like Jesus did. Now, I want to show some examples of how Jesus was to how we can apply it to our life. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, talking about Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Think about this for a moment. Think about Jesus and his life. He came to this world, Son of God, had no sin, did everything right. People hated him. People spit on him. People cursed him. They even crucified him. But yet he didn't say anything bad about these people. You know, if people wrong us today, what's the first thing we're going to do? We're going to run our mouth. But Jesus didn't. He had pure speech. Isaiah 53 and 9 says, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Another thing to think about. Jesus made his grave with the wicked. What that means is Jesus, you know, to us is just, he's the king. He's Christ. He did nothing wrong. But yet the way he died the way that the hardcore criminals die. Being crucified on the cross was one of the most painful death there can be. And it was humiliated to him by being crucified like that. He also died that way as the wicked do. He was buried in a way. He had no big funerals like we have today. He was buried just like the poor, the criminals were. There was no big funeral or anything like that. but he didn't say anything about it. There's no deceit at his mouth about that. He was doing what the will of his father he wanted him to do, and he had pure speech in that. I mean, think about the things that we gripe about, the things that we talk about today, and it's nothing compared to what Jesus had went through. We are to have pure speech. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking." Proverbs 4 and 24 says, "Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, and put far from thee." You know, I often think, and I talk to the youth about our mouth. Our mouth is a very important tool for us, but yet we abuse it a lot. We have the ability to proclaim the gospel of Christ, to teach others about Jesus, to speak to those about God. But yet we use our mouth for other things, and it's our choice to do so. We have every right to do that, but are we having pure speech when we talk to someone? You know, I can immediately tell about a person by having a five-minute conversation with them. You know, if the gospel is in them, if they're bad, if they're good, by their speech. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may be ministered unto grace of the hearers." That's what our mouth is for. That's what our speech is. To have pure speech is to edify, to lift people up, just as Jesus did. We are warned to abstain from foolish talking. And Ephesians 5:4 says, "Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." Ephesians 4:29, verse 31 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Now, that's hard to do for a lot of us, but in order to have pure speech, maybe talking less is what it is. Thirdly and lastly, how can the beauty, and I know this was supposed to be the gospel of Jesus Christ, be seen in us, but if you have the gospel in you, it is the beauty that can be seen in us. And that is by living sacrificially, to sacrifice. You know, in our lives, we sacrifice things throughout in this world. When you grow older as a child, you sacrifice different things. When you get married, you sacrifice things. When you have children, you sacrifice things. When you have a job, you sacrifice things. But we sacrifice things in the world for our own gain. But living as a Christian, in order to have that gospel in us that others can see, we have to live sacrificially. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, as I said, our bodies are to glorify God. And each day, we are to present our bodies to God as living sacrifices. What we put in our heart is what we put out to the world. As I was telling Sunday school class today, we look at the world, we see the corruption in the world, the bad, and it's because of the examples, it's the living sacrifice that people are leaving for us to see. Just think of a world who everyone had Jesus in their life and offered their bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto God. Think about turning on the news and seeing what all the good things you would see. The world would be a better place. That's what being a living sacrifice is to use our body that God gave us to proclaim the gospel to those around us and to be transformed each day by the renewing of our mind. And that's exactly what happens to us when we obey the gospel. We are changing on the inside so that people around us could see it. Jesus lived a sacrificial life and died as a sacrifice of our sins. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, Jesus said, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." And there's lots of different points to this scripture that Jesus is telling us. He's telling us that, hey, first of all, our God provide for us. You know, but here I am, the Son of God, in man form. Could do anything or be anybody I want to be. But I'm no better than the rest of y'all. I'm no better than the foxes. I'm no better than the birds. I have nowhere to lay my head. I'm sacrificing all of this because this is the will of God. And if we had this same attitude that Jesus did, we would live our life sacrificially as well. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it no robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took up him to the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of a man, as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." That's a powerful message there. You know, that Jesus was tempted just like we were. The devil offered him all kinds of things, just like the world offers us, but yet he sacrificed all of that. Not just for us, but for God. That's what God wanted him to do, and he did. He humbled himself, became a servant, and became obedient to death, even to the cross of the way that he died. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25, it says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." You know, the first thing that we need to do if we're going to allow the gospel to be seen in us is to deny who we think we are, to deny the things that we want to pursue in life and allow Jesus into our life. Jesus says, "Whoever will lose their life for me shall save it, but whoever shall save their life," meaning to continue to do what you want to do, "will lose it." We know this world and the things of this world are temporary. We see it every day. Open up the paper, you see obituaries. You see that buildings burn down, that things are destroyed. But our life, if we give it to Jesus and allow Jesus in our life and deny ourselves for that, if we lose our life for him, he will save our lives. Today is the time to obey the gospel. And this great gospel, this great news that I've been talking about to you, is the best news ever. One of the most important decisions you ever make in your life is obeying this gospel and having this good news. We know in this world, in our lives, there are corruptions, there's sickness, there's death, there's tears, there's sorrow. But there's good news beyond that, and that is hope with Jesus Christ. In just a moment, we're going to have a song of invitation. If there's anyone here this morning that has obeyed the gospel and perhaps hasn't been living the way they should and would like that gospel to be seen in you through others, we invite you to come forward this morning and let us as a body of Christ to pray for you to restore that in you and to renew your mind and to help you. That's what prayer is all about. And that's what as Christians we should do. And our gospel will be shown through others by praying for you. And we're here to do that. If there's someone here this morning who has not obeyed this gospel and this great news, it's right here. It's one step away from you. And I encourage you, you know who you are, to come forward this morning and to accept Jesus in your life and to start living that Christian life and to let others know that you have Jesus in you, so that others can see Jesus. We hope that you make that decision this morning while we stand and while we sing.